Thanks so much, Dan. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the privilege it is to know you personally. Lord, we pray as we open your word again today that you will speak to us, that we will openly open our minds and our hearts and our wills to you today as we hear the things that you have written for us to know and to understand and to put into action in our lives. Bless us now, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have your Bibles. Please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 3 through 11 today. It's really one paragraph in the Greek text. So we've taken a couple weeks to get through this paragraph, but it's all one unit. It comes together as we read it and we think about it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, in thinking about this text, I think what we have here are true benefits of growth in Christ, true benefits of growth in Christ. You know, not long ago, I was talking to my younger brother. He's 3.5 years younger than I am, and he had just been laid off from work. And in fact, everyone in his workplace had been laid off. I mean, the whole company was laid off, and he was the last one out the door. And he told me, George, you know, it wasn't just a layoff, it was a permanent layoff. That means they don't want us back. He said, well, you know, they're talking about rehiring in November, but anybody who worked there formerly has to sign up as totally new employees. So any benefits they had, any benefits they had earned during their time working there would be lost. They start out as day one as totally new employees again. So they lost all their benefits if they come back to this company. Peter speaks about benefits of seeking to grow as a Christian. And these benefits are different than the ones my brother spoke about, aren't they? They are guaranteed and permanent. Every benefit we have here is not guaranteed, not permanent, but ones that the Lord tells us about are guaranteed and permanent. We'll truly receive them because God has made this promise. Not some company, but God has made this promise. In verses 3 through 11, in the beginning of that paragraph, Peter urged us to cultivate lives that are pleasing to God, to put into practice the knowledge that God has provided for us, to have wholesome thinking about an intimate relationship with him. And now he speaks about the benefits of doing so. You know, he's not just talking into the air about these things. He's going to tell us, you know, there are real benefits from listening to this and doing this. So in verses 8 through 11, I found four benefits from seeking to grow spiritually in Christ. Four benefits from seeking to grow spiritually in Christ. The first benefit I find in verse 8, it's usefulness and fruitfulness. It says in verse 8, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, the Holy Spirit makes these things happen in our lives, makes us like this. And that word make can be translated render or keep or establishes or forms us in this way. You know, as we try to be more like Jesus, we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit forms us and makes us to be like this, as it talks about in verse 8. "For if you possess any of these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you," the NIV says. But in the NSV, I think it says, "make you this way." King James says that. We are to urgently, eagerly pursue these seven virtues or qualities that are listed in 5 verse 7. Goodness or courage, depending upon how you look at that word. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Those are the seven. You know, as we pursue those seven qualities of being more and more like Jesus, we will become increasingly more productive spiritually. Our desire should be to own and possess continually more and more of them. I'm trying to picture for you the Greek text of the verbs there. More and more, continually strive to have these things in your life, even to the point where you have too much of them. Your cup is almost like overflowing with them. I don't know if it's possible, but that's the sense there in the verses. You know, a life that grows in loving God becomes like God. And we should constantly be changed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. I like what Richard DeHaan says. I think you might have heard him on the radio. He used to speak on the radio. He says, "The believer who honors God will have a life that is fruitful, purposeful, and meaningful, having an impact for Christ wherever he goes. He will see spiritual truth clearly, and he will live triumphantly in the midst of life's trials and temptations." So the first benefit of seeking to grow spiritually, according to this passage, is usefulness and fruitfulness. We want to be useful for the Lord, don't we? We want to be fruitful for the Lord. We want our lives to count for Jesus. And that's what it's talking about in verse 8. Usefulness, fruitfulness. A second benefit, good vision and good memory. See verse 9. "But if anyone does not have them," these seven virtues that were listed above, "he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." You know, diet can affect eyesight and memory, can it? What we eat, what we consume. And the absence of the increase of these qualities in verses 5 through 7 demonstrate the condition of the believer. And it's almost like it's pictured here. They're like squinting. They're squinting. They're nearsighted. They can't see far away because their eyesight and their memory has been damaged by not doing what God said. You know, the ability to see in the present and in the future It's based upon our response to what we have already seen, to what God has already shown us. He's not going to show us new things until we take care of what he's already told us about. And he helps our memory and understanding about what Christ has done for us when we're going through the whole process. You know, a good diet of God's word gives us great joy and our assurance as we walk with Jesus. God has opened our eyes when we came to know Christ, the Savior. Let's not forget about what he's done for us ever, ever. I think we should be like the man who is blessed in Psalm chapter 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, God's law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. When we seek to grow, God gives us good vision, good eyes, and good memory. A third benefit that I found in this passage is found in verse 10. He gives us a wonderful assurance that we belong to him. It says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. You know, Peter is finishing off this paragraph with urging us to be spiritually mature, with another appeal for diligence, just like he started out the chapter. This diligence in pursuing these things. Be all the more eager that these seven characteristics become a part of your life. You know, if we walk around with our eyes closed, what's going to happen? Well, in my house, I'm going to stub my toe. I don't know if you've ever done that lately, but it always happens to me. I'll stub my toe, or if I don't stub my toe, I'm going to fall down. That's what will happen. Or my glass will fall over. That's great, it didn't. And will not escape the corruption of the world when we got our eyes closed. Warren Wiersbe said, it's not our profession of faith that guarantees that we are saved. It's our progression in the faith that gives us that assurance. You know, it makes us sure we belong to Jesus. Why do I don't want to do this stuff I used to do? Because I know Jesus now. Why doesn't that interest me anymore? Because God has given me a taste and a hunger for something better. And I don't want to hurt that or bother that in any way. The way we live makes our calling and election sure. When a believer in Christ sincerely, eagerly desires to please the Lord and does his best to do God's will, be like Christ, then the Holy Spirit gives him that assurance that he is a child of God. And that's a wonderful thing. He's a child of God. You know, the Greek word there for sure or certain in this verse is used in the classical Greek to refer to a warranty deed. You know, this is kind of to represent a warranty deed. They give you these pieces of paper when you buy a house, you know, and that warranty deed confirms for you, it makes it sure that you own this place. You know, if anybody comes and asks you if you own your house, I got the deed right here, buddy. I can prove that I do. And that's what it's there for. So that's what the word is talking about. One's godly behavior is like a warranty deed for himself that Christ has cleansed him from his past sins and he's been called and elected by God to receive salvation. We've called when we hear the gospel, when somebody shares with us the gospel. And then later we figure out, hey, God loved me from the creation of the world. It's not the first thing they understand usually, but eventually they do. How special they are that they responded to God's election, God's calling. When we seek to grow spiritually, God gives us a wonderful assurance that we belong to him. So four benefits. First benefit, usefulness and fruitfulness. That's in verse 8. Second benefit, good vision and good memory. Verse 9. Third benefit, a wonderful assurance. A wonderful assurance that we belong to Him. I think my grandson on Friday is starting to get some of that wonderful assurance as we held him. He's home now, and he was three days old on Friday, and we just held that baby. And wonderful assurance. I'm sure he received that, hey, there are some people in this house that really love me, and they really are concerned about me, and they're not going to let anything happen to me. And that's the way God takes us into His own too, doesn't He? He just assures us when we follow Him that we belong to Him. The fourth and final benefit that I find in the passage is a grand entrance into God's kingdom. Verse 11 says, "Then you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It's a rich welcome that's described here into God's kingdom. It's like the ultimate reward for a growing Christ-honoring life. And the word there for this welcome refers to, the Greeks would participate in the Olympic Games. And if you would win, there would be a whole crowd of people that would greet you when you came home. They'd be standing out, maybe 400 or 500 people would stand out the city, and then they would give you this rich greeting as you came home. It's the same word that we find in verse 5. So Peter is actually closing this paragraph with a word that he used in the beginning. Maybe in verse 5 it talks about, in your Bible, either add or supply. And that's the same word that's used in verse 11. You will receive. It will be added to you. It will be supplied to you. The same word. In the same degree that we pursue righteousness, fruitfulness, the same degree the person will be ushered into God's kingdom with our vision, our assurance, our youthfulness, and fruitfulness comes eternal reward. I have an illustration here that I'm going to try to see if it's going to work today. Sometimes these don't work so well. But just think in your mind, your heart, that this represents, this water represents the Word of God. We have that in the Bible often, don't we? The Bible, or the God's Word and water are together. And these different instruments are people. How people react when they hear the Word of God. You know, sometimes, you know, even this passage, when people hear this, they're like a funnel. You know, the Word of God comes, they hear it, and what happens? You can see what happens. It goes right through, doesn't it? My mom used to say to me, goes in one ear and come right out the other one, didn't it? It didn't do much good. And that's not the way we want to react when we hear the Word of God. We want it to stop inside there someplace and make its home and, you know, be benefit to us. Well, another thing I have here, another tool. Cindy doesn't know I bought this, so this isn't hers. But see what happens when the Word of God happens or gets a part of this life. It still goes through, but there's a little bit that's retained in there. And what happens when people, you know, they receive the Word of God and then they get shook, they get shaken up for some reason, even what's left there comes out. And people sometimes, you know, pressure or turmoil or bad things that happen to them shake them. And the Word of God doesn't remain in their life. And that's bad. That's bad. Then the last instrument I have here is a sponge. And what happens when we pour this water on the sponge? Well, a lot of it stays in there, doesn't it? At least I hope it does. But after a while, it becomes saturated, doesn't it? You know, we hear the Word of God, and after a while, we also become saturated by the Word of God. And we can't take any more. because there's no place else for it to go. So what needs to happen? The Holy Spirit, well, we need to get out and share the Word of God, what we have, but sometimes the Holy Spirit causes us to go through trials and difficulties in our life, and He rings us out. He allows the Word of God to be seen in our lives, lived out, so that people can see it. And then what's He do to us again? He fills us again with His Word, so that that Word of God can be seen as alive and real in our lives and given to other people so that they will know Jesus. Let's see how it works. There, it was better that time. The passage is talking about confronting us, telling us about the true benefits of growth, and it's asking us to obey these things, not to be like the funnel, in one word, in one ear and out the other ear, not to be like that screen that when we allow just difficult things to come into our lives and take the Word of God away from our lives, but to be like a sponge, where the Holy Spirit can take the stuff that remains in our lives and use it in the lives of other people again and again and again, so that we'll be fruitful and useful for Jesus. Well, as we close today, I have four questions for you. Four questions. First of all, you're growing in your faith. That's what we want to do. That's what Jesus wants us to do, is to grow in our faith. He wants us to receive Jesus. Yeah, that's true. But then after that, He wants us to grow, to know more about His Word, more about Jesus. Secondly, are you satisfied with what God is doing in you? Are you satisfied with what God is doing in you? And if you're not, that probably means turning from something in your life that shouldn't be there. Turning from things that keep you from experiencing the satisfaction that God wants you to have with your relationship with Him. Thirdly, are you cultivating a life that pleases God? Are you actively doing the things necessary and turning off the computer, throwing the phone away, you know, all that stuff that kind of saps us, it takes away our energy and our time, and spending time in the book. Spending time with other people, too, reading the book, is a really good thing. And praying to Him so that His Word will come into us and make us more like Jesus. And finally, do you know Christ? None of these things are possible. None of the things we talked about in these verses will apply to you unless you've given your life to Jesus as your Savior. It's the most important thing that people can do. Trust in Him. Repent. Turn to Him. Ask Him to be Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for this passage that tells us the true benefits of knowing You, true benefits of having eternal life, yes, but also life here that is abundant and neat to be around. Lord, thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.